Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm Rita Halk-Lane, your host for the next hour. Please join me as we take up the nets of our lives and go into the deep beauty of life with Jesus Christ. I want to say a little prayer real quick before we get going. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. May the Lord our God, our Father in heaven, richly bless our time together today, and by his grace, may we be set afire with the flame of his love. Amen. I moved my little statue closer to me so those of you on Facebook can see. I have a beautiful statue of Saint Joan of Arc. Saint Joan of Arc is my patron saint, and I have a long history with this girl. When I was a little girl, I wasn't Catholic, and I watched the movie Joan of Arc with Ingrid Bergman, and I was so touched by it and so moved by it that she kind of stayed in my heart my whole life. And I became Catholic, and I chose her as my namesake, so to speak, my patron saint, because of the impact she had on my whole life. And then after I became Catholic, I was extremely on fire for the Lord, first of all, Our Lady, and the Church. And I was compelled with my whole heart, because it was just such joy. I never thought when I was younger and swore I could never be Catholic that being Catholic would be so wonderful, so wonderful. And so I chose Saint Joan of Arc, and after I became Catholic, I felt like, you know, how she worked hard to reunite France under the rightful king and that sort of thing. So my mission when I was a much younger Catholic was to reunite Christians, Catholic Christians and non-Catholic Christians, and to help them see the beauty and of Catholicism, but also the things we have in common, far more than you can imagine. And it was interesting. I just saw an article online about written by a Protestant pastor who was saying that he felt like the Protestant churches should have, you know, the Catholics have Jesus with, you know, I mean, Jesus on the cross in their churches. It's called a crucifix. And he's, you know, he's crucified on the cross in the Catholic churches. And I remember when I wasn't Catholic, somebody said, where, you know, Catholic friends said, where's Jesus? He's not on your cross. And they said, and I smart aleckly said, well, he rose, all right? You know, I mean, it was really cocky and silly, and a total misunderstanding of what, why we Catholics have Christ on the cross in our churches, because it shows the immense and profound love that he had to suffer like that and to sacrifice like that out of pure love for us. So when we look at that crucifix, we don't see a dead Christ. We see a loving Christ who suffered and died for us, and it reminds us of all that love. And this pastor, Protestant pastor, was saying, you know, maybe we should have Christ on the cross in our churches too, because it is a terrific thing to see, the great love that he has for us that you don't see when the cross is bare. I understand both ways, but I prefer the Catholic way now because I understand it and it really does speak to my heart. And so St. Joan of Arc has set me on a path towards Catholicism and for helping unite Christians the least little bit I can. And then I find out that Kathleen McCarthy and I both have the same patron saint. And I went to a Women of Grace retreat probably 3 or 4 years ago. And it was about St. Joan of Arc and all of that. So it was really wonderful. And I'm so grateful. She's followed me around. And so I bring her to the office or to the studio every time I come in. And she just, you know, and what she said, I'm not afraid. I was born to do this. Well, Kathleen told me I was born to do this. Where it leads, we don't know. But I trusted her. I trust St. Joan of Arc. And I trust the Lord, first and foremost. So we all need your prayers, though. Everyone who works here, who volunteers here, we all need your prayers. The world is a little challenging now. And it's very... we need a lot of prayer as to what we should talk about and share with you and that sort of thing, because we do a lot of praying ourselves, but we want to do what the Lord wants us to do in a way that really touches your heart, because we all need encouragement. We all need the Lord. And so please pray for us, okay? We always pray for you. So anyway, I would like to... First of all, everywhere I go, everyone I talk with, everyone who isn't bitter and angry is very concerned about the hatred, the anger, the canceling, the wokeness, all of these things that are going on in our country these days, and the persecutions and all that sort of thing. We can't even talk to each other anymore, hardly. And I can tell you right now, folks, you know, I've been teaching the Bible for 25 years at my parish, and I've taught it for years before that. I am not a scripture scholar, but I have studied it well, and I have taken it to heart. And the kind of anger that we're seeing and the kind of canceling all that stuff is not from God. It's not from God. It's a terrible thing. It's something like the evil one would dream up to separate us from each other, get rid of unity and order in our lives and in our relationships. So my heart tells me every morning when I wake up that I do not want to go there. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be the person who goes into the trenches, and a trench can be a lunch table at work, you know, just goes into the trenches and focuses on the beauty of life with Christ, the beauty in life anyway. Even if you're not a believer, there's so much beauty. I was sitting outside this afternoon, and it was magnificent. Magnificent. And you hear the birds and watch the fish. And I mean, it's just nature itself sings some days. And it was singing today. And it made my heart sing too. So I want to focus today, if you would be so kind as to allow me to try to give you some upbeat and contrast to what's going on in our world today. And so I'm going to start today, instead of finishing today, with Father Bartunek's Summer Meditations. He has four little books, one for each season. And scripture, it says, for everything there is a season. And he wrote these books because we have gotten out of the practice of appreciating the seasons of the year in what they are, what's unique about each one, and how to best use that uniqueness in our to form our lives and our schedules. Okay, they're wonderful, wonderful books, and I use them a lot. So this is our my fourth week of using the summer meditations, and I want to focus on today's because it goes so perfectly with what's going on in the world today and how we Christians are called and infused with the very Spirit of God to be different than all that anger and all that criticism. So we have to train ourselves to not fall for it. Okay? I'm not saying we ignore things. That's not what the purpose is. Is that we keep our eyes on the Lord and do what we can. We don't keep our eyes on the politicians. We don't keep our eyes on what's wrong. We keep our eyes on the Lord, and we do what He wants us to do to make the world a better place and to heal our culture and the world the best way that we can, however He wants to use us. So today's chapter is on kindness. Kindness. And I'm going to read it to you because I found it very lovely. So here we go. Father John Bartunek on kindness. Summer is a gentle season. It is kind. The lush green grass invites you to lie down and relax, to stay on your back and watch the blue sky and powdery clouds dance lazily on by. They even say that gazing on the color green, the dominant color of the summer months, produces relaxing physiological effects. It affects your body. The warm sun caresses your skin and makes you smile. The balmy breezes give you hugs and make you want to run and jump and play. Even some of the thorn bushes become friendly, offering wild berries to delight your palate and nourish your body. Summer is kind and bountiful most of the time. And Father Bartunek goes on to say, kindness may not be the most profound or theological value in the human family, but it sure comes close. Think about it. What would life be like if all kindness were dissolved from human interaction? It's unimaginable. It would no longer be human. To be treated with respect and affection meets our fundamental need to be affirmed and to engage in relationships with other people. We know that it's a basic need because we experience it. When we experience it, we echo it. Kindness is contagious. Kindness is contagious. And I, Rita, add, so let's spread that kindness virus all over the place. Kindness is contagious. When people treat us kindly, we tend to be more likely to treat others kindly, and we tend to be more likely, and the whole network of human interactions is enhanced with goodness, beauty, and greater happiness. Like kindness, take kindness away, and the world becomes nothing more than a prison, a colony of human mechanisms, or even worse, of human beasts. Kindness matters, and we should never take it for granted. And Father Bartunek goes on, one of my most transformative experiences of kindness happened during my junior year of college when I was taking a semester abroad in Florence, Italy. We had a few weeks off for Christmas vacation, and my host family helped arrange for me to spend some of that time living in the mystical medieval city of Assisi, a place I came to love dearly. My first stop was at a palazzo built right into the city wall, a palazzo that was the home of an elderly woman named Maria Boeni. Maria lived alone, and the plan was for me to spend a few days boarding with her. She would provide a place to sleep, and I would explore the artistic, architectural, historical, and spiritual treasures of St. Francis's native town. I knocked on her door, not knowing what to expect. She opened the door, and I was face to face with a petite, elderly woman who exuded elegance, simplicity, and absolutely radiant kindness. She escorted me in and showed me around. Her home had taken on her personality. Every piece of furniture and decor, it seems, was smiling at me, welcoming me with open arms. Besides being exquisite, it was also warm, like a summer breeze or a meadow in summer sunshine. She showed me to her patio, which offered a breathtaking view of the Umbrian Valley, and eventually brought me to my room. She instructed me to settle in, freshen up, and, whenever I was ready, join her in the parlor for tea. When I was ready, I went to have tea with her. I had never had tea before. I sat in a chair that felt like a throne, and Maria made her way in and out of the kitchen, chatting enjoyably and making me feel very important. She brought out the tray and asked, "Do you take milk or lemon in your tea?" I froze. What was the proper response? What were you supposed to do? What was the polite option, the correct option, the cultured option? I had no idea. Both, thank you, I finally sputtered out. She barely suppressed a chuckle, but her smile was as warm as the tea. Later, I discovered that you aren't supposed to mix lemon and milk in your tea. It's not only a faux pas, it's also unhealthy. Maria didn't give me a single disapproving vibe in her response. That set the tone for 3 unequivocally delightful days. We would eat breakfast together in the morning, have tea in the afternoon, and in between, I explored Assisi. Every day, she would get me talking about my adventures. She would share her insights and suggestions. She treated me with gentleness and respect like an equal, though I felt far from that. She bathed me in kindness. And without realizing it, my soul began to flourish. In that short visit, Maria changed me. Her wise and genuine kindness opened my mind and heart to a different way of being. I couldn't have put words to it then, but I definitely felt it. Okay, I want to stop there for a second, because when I read that earlier, it reminded me of some of the responses that we've heard here in the United States from the visitors who came from foreign lands for the FIFA World Cup, and how welcome they felt and how much joy they had. And I'm so grateful that we were able to give that to them. And you see here, Father Bartunek is sharing how that kindness, she bathed him in kindness, and without realizing it, his soul began to flourish. And he goes on to say, kindness matters. We shouldn't take it for granted. In the Bible, in God's word, kindness is consistently praised and linked to the deepest value of all, love. St. Paul puts kindness near the top of the list of expressions of love. Love is patient. Love is kind, he writes. He also includes it with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. At one point, he sums up Christian behavior by saying, "Your kindness should be known to all." This is St. Paul saying this. Your kindness should be known to all. Jesus himself encourages us to cultivate kindness by following his own example. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves." Father Bartunek goes on saying, "Kindness isn't everything, but it's close. True kindness refuses to harm others and habitually treats others with respect, dignity, and goodness. It flows from the conviction that every person is as infinitely valuable as oneself. And so it is a primary way to fulfill the golden rule. Now, I think most of you know what the golden rule is from Scripture, but I'm going to quote it here. I meant to say it before we started. But anyway, you'll find it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12. Jesus is speaking, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. In other words, do not do to others what you would not like done to yourselves. Okay? And so sometimes kindness has to overflow into chivalry, into efforts to protect others from harm. Well, this is why authentic kindness doesn't tolerate or condone sinful behavior or decisions. If someone I know wants to rob a bank, only false kindness will agree to give that person a ride to the scene of the crime. True kindness will try to talk some sense into the errant acquaintance. Kindness may seem like weakness to some, but in fact it is a fruit of great spiritual strength. Kindness may seem like weakness to some, but in fact it is the fruit of great spiritual strength. When we make kindness a personal value and goal, we bring summer's warmth and brightness to people's souls. And in a world that seems to be leaning further and further toward a spiritual winter, that's no small contribution. I'm going to reread that last paragraph. When we make kindness a personal value and goal, it's something we set out to do, it's something we cherish, it becomes a part of us, okay? He says we bring summer's warmth and brightness to people's souls. And in a world that seems to be leaning further and further toward a spiritual winter, that's no small contribution. And in fact, it's interesting, I looked up I knew the golden rule by heart, okay, but I looked it up because there's different ways, you know, little tweaks of how to quote it. But one thing I did find out, it is somewhat recognized universally as a, you know, in Western countries anyway, as a good, and in some others too. Of course, I'm not just saying Western only. But it's a kind of a universal understanding of the best way to treat each other. Right. And there's Jewish scholars, Confucius, Plato, Aristotle, Isocrates, Seneca. They all called for some sort of this golden rule. And so it makes sense. You know, I see people treating other people nasty sometimes with their canceling. I don't want to hear it. Get away from me. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You know, basically closing them out. And it's so disrespectful and awful. And they don't think about what it would feel if somebody was doing that to them. All right? It's not a good thing. We need to listen to each other, not argue. Okay, if you want to say something that you know is going to bother me, say it kindly, unless I will accept it, and we'll talk a little bit. We're gonna say civil about this. Okay, let's be respectful of each other, and see if somebody will do that. Some people are so wound up right now. The evil one has gotten them so wound up that they cannot engage without anger and frustration and everything else, the chaos that comes into your heart when you just can't listen. It's sad. But anyway, Father Bartunek, he says, you know, let's choose to value and set as a goal for ourselves to be kind. And it won't happen without the Lord's help. We have a certain amount of kindness in our hearts and abilities in our hearts. And we can work on that. and cooperate with it, of course, as a goal. But we really need the Lord and His Spirit to help us over the tough parts and to fill us with that kindness, His kindness, not our kindness, His love, His understanding. He wants to do it. Let's just ask Him to help us do that. And then go out every morning and say, Lord, I want to bring Your kindness to the world today. Show me where. If somebody needs a kind word or something, show me that person and then let me tell me what to do. I'm here. I'm your instrument. Okay? And the one Father Bartunek says at the end of each chapter, he gives some suggestions on how to integrate that particular chapter into your life. And one thing I picked here is take one day this week, and I'm encouraging you all to do this, take one day this week in which you will make kindness your top priority. On that day, in every encounter and task, intentionally behave with absolute kindness. At the end of the day, take time to prayerfully reflect on how you felt and how your kindness affected the events of the day. Sometimes it will not be accepted. Don't let it discourage you. You just keep on being kind. You just do it anyway. There is a writing attributed to Mother Teresa. It goes along something like those things. You know, you might not be accepted for your kindness, but do it anyway. So, anyway, so take one day this week, make kindness your top priority, and in every encounter and task, and write down or remember later and ponder how the day went and how your encounters went. And, you know, don't let that stop, okay? Because it rewards you as well as the other person that you're being kind to, okay? You know in your heart that you're being part of the solution instead of part of the problem. I'm going to have to take a break, and please don't go anywhere. Stay with me. I have more to share with you, and I'll be right back. Thank you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2900.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Rita Halk Lane, your host for the next half hour. We've been talking in the last half hour about kindness. Only a strong person filled with the Spirit of God can make it their goal to persevere in kindness in spite of what the world throws at them every day. But you know what? You keep trying it, you get better at it, and you love it. You love it. It becomes a part of your very nature. And it should, because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, I want to share with you three verses. There are many, many verses. In fact, Father Bartunek, in his book I was quoting from, his summer meditations. All right. He says in there that, and it's true, I've seen it myself, the scriptures, holy scriptures, Old and New Testament, are full of instructions and encouragement towards kindness. Okay? So we know that we're pleasing the Lord when we try to be kind and persevere at it, because who was the kindest? Jesus Christ. Even when he was murdered, he said, "Please forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing." So when we're kind, we're imitating him. Okay? So I want to share with you this verse from Colossians. It's in the New Testament. Colossians 3. chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if one has a grievance against another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these, put on love, that is, the bond of perfection. Over all these, put on love, that is, the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, and the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful." Be thankful. You know, it's funny because, you know, the scripture says repeatedly, forgive, forgive, forgive. And sometimes we can look at ourselves and say, well, you know, I've never done anything like that to somebody. I've never done something like that. Or I would never do that. You know, instead of looking at other people and their wickedness, we refuse to look at our own. And we measure how good or bad we've been by how we've treated others, without even thinking about, well, how have we treated the Lord? How have we treated the Lord? Okay. So anyway. And then we have Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, as God has forgiven you in Christ. There it is again. Forgive as God has forgiven you. We hear that over and over and over again in Scripture. But we tend to overlook it. We listen to everything around it. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, as God has forgiven you. Oh, okay. So just remember that, all right? It's like in the Our Father. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against me, as we forgive. Okay. And the last one I want to share with you is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. It's in Philippians chapter 2, 15. Actually, let's see, 14 and 15. Do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world, as you hold on to the word of life. I'm going to read it again. I love this. I love this. Do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life. Okay. We have, in fact, I have a book on kindness. It's spectacular. I bought it during COVID and I studied it. And I loved it so much that I even gave it to our former pastor. And I can't remember the exact words, but it basically says in the introduction about how we Christians have the ability to lift up the world, to really actually make a difference in the world with kindness. With kindness. The early church grew in leaps and bounds from the kindness and the love. They will know you are Christians by your love. They will know you are following me by your love, and love includes kindness. I want to pray a prayer with you. If you notice, those of you on Facebook, you notice this cute little book, all right? It's wrapped in a brown paper bag cover over it. I was given this lovely little prayer book by Sister Letitia, or Letitia, I'm not sure if it was Letitia or Letitia, who was the superior of the Mother Teresa sisters on the East Coast of the United States years ago. And she and I were friends. She taught me all kinds of cute little songs to teach the kids at camp, and I still, when I'm down there, I still do those songs with the children, and I just loved her. And I had been a lay missionary of charity for many years, and I asked her if it was possible to get one of their prayer books. And this is the same prayer book that Mother Teresa's sisters use every day. And so I'm just grateful that I have it. And one of the most famous and popular prayers that the Missionaries of Charity use is this one. And it goes right along with what we're talking about today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Jesus, and I'm praying this for you as well as myself. Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that our lives may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our souls. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine. So to shine is to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around us. Let us preach you without preaching, not by words, but by our example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what we do, the evident fullness of the love our hearts bear to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I wanted to share that with you. And I also want to encourage you, if and I'm speaking to Catholics and non-Catholics right now, if any of you have ever in your life been drawn to some famous Catholic, they're saints, but you might not know what that is, recognize, like I was drawn to Saint Joan of Arc as a young child, and she followed me all through my life in one way or the other. And so if you have ever been attracted to a saint, Saint Therese of Lisieux, Padre Pio, Saint Padre Pio, Papa John Paul II, There's millions of them. So many of them. St. Francis. St. Teresa of Avila. So many saints. If you have even the least little interest in them, pursue it. Even if you're not Catholic. We can learn so much from these saints. They've been in the trenches. They survived it and came out with answers on how to live in those trenches. I can't tell you who I would be today if it wasn't for Mother Teresa. And it all started with me walking through my living room. I hadn't been Catholic for very long, and I had on EWTN, and somebody was being interviewed about Mother Teresa, and I don't, to this day, remember who that person was. And they quoted some of the things that she would say, and it stopped me in my tracks. Do small things with great love. One person at a time. You know, all these little snippets that spoke to my heart. Because when you look at the world, there's so much to do. There's so much need. How can I make a difference? Mother Teresa said, focus on the person in front of you. One person at a time. And she said, if I hadn't looked at that one person on the street, picked that one person up, I would have been so overwhelmed with all the misery around me, I would have never been able to do the work. One person at a time. We're not called to do great things, but small things with great love. Wow. Stopped me in my tracks. And that set me on a journey. Well, if she can say that and it's so wise and so awesome, I got to find out more about this person. And then I've been working with the sisters, and I went to her canonization in Rome. Wow. Words can't describe. But nonetheless, I will move on. I wanted to stay kind of in this theme of kindness. And one of the things that I love is, and I went to Assisi, like Father Bartunek mentioned in his book. I went to Assisi when I was in Italy for the canonization of Mother Teresa. And one of my favorite books, I have four favorite saints, all right? They've all impacted my life tremendously. And that is Mother Teresa, Papa John Paul II, Saint Francis, Saint Therese of Lisieux. Oh, and Saint Joan of Arc. Sorry, five. Okay. So anyway, there's a book by Albert Haas. And it's called Instruments of Christ, Reflections on the Peace Prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. And I'm going to pray that prayer before I get into this. And, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And so, Father Haas takes each one of those petitions and desires and does a very short little chapter on it. So I wanted to share with you briefly. As instrument of peace. Instrument. We are all the Lord's instruments, if we choose to be. If you want to be used by him, just tell him, Lord, make me an instrument of yours. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? And I'm telling you, folks, that's where your joy is going to be. Your joy is going to be found in living in union with him and living his way. Oh my gosh, There's nothing in the world better. Nothing. Nothing. We think that if we go off and do our own thing and ignore other people, ignore his rules for life, so to speak, his guidance, that we're going to be happy. No, we look in all the wrong places. And if we're fortunate, we end up with him anyway. And so, because he really is the answer to all the problems of the world today. All of them. Social, individual, family, you name it. So anyway, Father Haas says, make me an instrument of your peace. That's the prayer, your peace. I was reading something today. It said, make me an instrument of peace. No. Make me an instrument of your peace, God's peace. Superior, supernatural, extraordinary peace. Make me an instrument of your peace. All right? So it says, the first words of the risen Lord to his disciples are his greeting and his gift, peace be with you. This peace, won at the price of his crucifixion, was such a precious gift that Paul began his letters with this distinctive greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In a world that was considering Christianity more and more subversive, the disciples were reminded that the death of the Lord and Divine Master, and any faithful servant of his, for that matter, was a portal of peace for others. However, the Lord's gift of peace goes far beyond the absence of hostilities, as a dictionary would define it, or the destruction of battlefields. As the following six positions of the peace prayer will suggest, the legacy of peace must seep down deep to the very roots of conflict and dissension, hatred, injury, doubt, despair, darkness, and sadness, all experiences which suggest a life centered on me, not on the Lord. Okay. So he goes on to say, I'm not reading the whole thing, but however, being an instrument of peace is not simply a passive, polite affair in which a person bites one's tongue or refuses to speak up in order to keep peace. So it says, we have to become a field hand, an active agent of the Lord, who intentionally sows the seeds of peace in the world's furrows of distress. I pray to be a peacemaker for others. And then, let's see. Perhaps that's why in Matthew's gospel, the Lord and Divine Master explicitly identifies himself with and speaks for those who have no food, drink, shelter, clothes, freedom, or adequate health. Jesus emphasizes that every servant of his can be a channel of peace by living lives of charity, compassion, and consolation. Through the gift from heaven, peace can continue to touch the world through disciples who keep their eyes, ears, and hearts firmly planted on earth and aware of others who have practical, tangible needs. And then over here near the end, he says, like our Divine Master, we look beyond the pain inflicted upon us and refuse to strike back in violence. Indeed, we beat the swords of our hearts into plowshares and the spears of our souls into pruning hooks. We then ask for the grace to actively sow the seeds of peace for others. As faithful servants tilling the earth, we wait with great anticipation for the harvest of justice and peace. Okay. You know, the world tries to make us think that there's no hope. Especially the news and social media. 9 out of 10 things that we see on there are negative, hopeless, critical, nasty. All right, no wonder the youth of the world is not happy. Because they're not being fed the truth about the Lord. the truth about his peace that comes in the midst of the traumas and battles of life. And I'm just telling you, it is real peace. It is real. In the midst of the worst things, you can have a peaceful soul. You can have a beautiful, peaceful soul where the Lord is warming you and healing you and encouraging you and lifting you up. This is real. This is real. And I encourage you, please, please give Jesus a chance. All right? Go in your room, and if you feel compelled, get on your knees and cry out to God and say, I want to know you. Help me know you. I don't even know if I believe in you. Help my unbelief. Show me yourself. Show me where to go, what to do, how to know you. If you don't have a Bible, go get one. All right? And anyway, I want to share with you some powerful verses about making us an instrument of our peace, of his peace. This is an article. It does not have an author in it. Oh, Davidson is the last person, the person's last name. It says, the power of peace. In the journey of faith, we are continuously reminded of the immense power that peace holds. When we pray, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, we are inviting God to work through us, transforming our hearts to be vessels of his tranquility. This is not merely about avoiding conflict, but actively seeking to create harmony and understanding among others. Our world today craves peace, and as followers of Christ, we have the incredible opportunity to exhibit his love and unity in our actions and words, guiding others towards his light. Okay, and then he quotes some scriptures, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's from Philippians. And in Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, the body of Christ, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of the body of Christ, you were called to peace. You were called to peace, and be thankful. Romans 12, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Okay. And then he goes on, as believers, we're called upon to love not only our friends and family, but also strangers and those who may not see eye to eye with us. This divine love is rooted in compassion, understanding, and acceptance. When we pray, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, we're truly asking to be equipped with the ability to love unconditionally and radically, just as Jesus did. By embracing this love, we can bridge gaps, tear down walls that often divide us as a community. And then he quotes John 13, a new command I give you. A lot of people don't realize this when they're reading scripture. And a lot of ministers don't quote this scripture. They quote the Old Testament scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says in John 13, verse 34, look it up for yourself. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Okay? Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another as I have loved you. And then in 1 John 4, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And there's another scripture, I don't know exactly where it is, I've forgotten, but it says, love one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. So, I just wanted to share that with you. So make me an instrument of your peace, Lord. Make me an instrument. Use me as your instrument. Okay? And then I want to share with you, Mother Teresa. I mean, we got lots of these kind of cards with quotes from her before she was even a saint. And there's more now, but this is one when she was a blessed. She wasn't already canonized yet. But this is a quote from her. Goes along with what we're doing today. Let us bring peace into the world by love and compassion, by respecting life, the most beautiful gift of God. Let us love each person, the unborn, the young, the old, the sick, and the poor, with the same love with which God loves each one of us, a tender and personal love. I'm going to read it again. This is from a Mother Teresa. She's a saint now. Let us bring peace into the world by love and compassion, by respecting life, the most beautiful gift of God. Let us love each person, the unborn, the young, the old, the sick, and the poor, with the same love with which God loves each one of us, a tender and personal love. That kind of stuff doesn't come naturally to us because of original sin. But when we pray for it, the Lord is so, so willing, so happy to give you His kind of love, His patience, His compassion, His kindness. So ask for it and look out, because you're going to be happy. You're going to be filled with joy. Yeah, there's going to be tough times. There's ups and downs in the spiritual life. But you will be extremely blessed. And so what I'm going to... I wanted to share with you a prayer from Mass this morning, but it's not in my book. It must have been in the priest's. It's not a manual, but what he uses in Mass, I can't remember now. But in the prophet Micah said, you have been told, people, you have been told what is good and what the Lord requires of you, only to do the right and to love goodness and to walk humbly with your God. He's God, we are not. I pray that you will be richly blessed over the next week until I see you again on Monday. Please pray for us. We're praying for you. God bless you richly. God bless you. Take care.